Today's reading continues from the prophecy of the New Covenant, chapter 91, Testament of the New Covenant. On February 14th, the first Sunday following the vigil, having awakened at dawn, the community gathered at the sanctuary in liturgical expression of thanksgiving to God. It was the 52nd day after Christmas, the 40th day after the blessings of light at New Epiphany, and the 12th day following God's Advent day of the appearance of the image and word in the spiritual Son. Facing east to receive the divine presence which manifested before the rising of the sun, the man dressed in vestments of white linen, emblazed with golden insignia of the cross of enlightenment, waited in the stillness in company with his family and the companions of the way. All had taken bread and water together in communion of fellowship, asking that God prepare them to receive the greater communion of the true bread and water which nurtures the soul. And as the day star, the visible sign of the divine presence in the true sun, appeared golden and radiant over the heights, the bell ringers stationed at the hilltops told its coming. And the man chanted the morning canticle in harmony with the peal of handbells near to the communion table. The liturgical crescendo of bells, liturgy, and prayers of the company caused the sun to dance for joy about the indigo sky, casting golden rays of light over the purple mountains and blue valleys of the sanctuary. The canting and the bells ceased as the solar orb freed itself from the earth. A quietude settled over the mounts and dales, and the congregation prayed to the greater light of God while looking through the gateway of the sun to another world. And the man looked at the greater light with the eyes of his spirit and listened with spiritual hearing. And the divine voice of the child spoke out of the image, and he heard the word speaking to his soul. After the passing of some time, he took pen and paper in hand and hurriedly wrote in the words of his own language the thoughts that had come to his mind from the consciousness of his inspired spirit. And these are the words he wrote with his own hand. The former teachings and doctrines revealed by inspired prophets of God, lost to the old religions of the world, are repossessed by the Second Advent Church. The new church is animated by God's image and word manifest in the heavens. The sacred liturgy used by Jesus, as inherited from older orders of which he was a part, a liturgy no longer in use by any church or order or any religion, is reinstituted by God in keeping with the revelations of Jesus, who supplemented the old with the new by divine authority. That which Jesus maintained, that which Jesus restored, that which Jesus revealed is not to be found anywhere on earth. Yet all those things kept sacred from ancient times by holy ones are written in heaven. The heirs to the ancient tradition of Israel, the extant holy orders whose species were annihilated systematically by civil and ecclesiastical authority in Rome and Jerusalem, testify to the evil of darkened minds who serve not God, but the Dark One. All such minds and positions of authority rule by the consent and will of the peoples of the earth. Therefore, God's image and word judge all peoples everywhere, those in authority and those under authority. Because of the loss of the covenant made between God and his true people, those illuminated by the image and the word, a covenant twisted and changed into a meaningless faith and belief based on authority and tradition, God would enlighten the races and peoples of the earth, so they might not be illiterate of divine doctrines. Therefore, the covenant has been reestablished by the second coming in a new manner. For the manifestation of the light of God come as image and word dictates a new covenant. And this is declared. God's law is written in heaven and manifest in the image and the word which rules the universe. In the past, saviors and prophets have been inspired of God's word to instruct their peoples. But the peoples rejected them, or reviled them, or killed them in a most ignoble manner. Following their deaths, words were put into their mouths, and they were used to perpetuate the old ways, the old priesthoods, and the religions of falsehood. God in the heavens cannot endure this malice and injustice. Therefore, God has filled the universe with the image of light inherent within the Word to renovate all creation. His new ministry, unified under the image and the Word into a community living the way, must hold this new covenant. Let there be no schisms, no disassociation into separate communities. The Son of God comes as a blessing to those who hold to the way and to the new covenant. It comes as a curse to all rebels who go their own way. The disobedient who revolt against divine authority in heaven and against God's new ministry in the community established by law deny themselves the benefits of God's coming. For by not living the way, by not accepting the new covenant, and by not holding to fellowship under law and order, they place themselves outside of God's protection and divine blessings from heaven and on earth. These unruly ones, believing that the sun and the earth are theirs to defile, make the unholiest of errors by becoming enslaved to the powers of darkness and the evil one. These one-eyed individuals look upon the sun seeking enlightenment by its material rays. They commit the gravest of sins by making an image of it, which they hold to be a god or divine power they believe themselves able to control. Thus they seek their own death of spirit, for they look not upon God's light, nor upon the true spiritual sun, but upon the personification of evil in the sun, that source of darkness that has defiled the universe by its rivalry and revolt against God. These are the idolaters, sun worshippers, and servants of Satan, the malicious slanderers who defile everything sacred and good. They stand condemned of God for their grievous ways. They are to be recognized by the true ministers of the community for what they are, workers of evil, in whose spirits darkness incarnates, the antichrists. They seek power in heaven and earth by force, corruption and defamation of God's holy teachers. They have killed both Messiah and prophet, sacrificing them to the false God of heaven and earth, known by many names, whom they claim as the true God. They have shed the blood of the holy ones on earth, offering it to darkness in exchange for earthly power. They have distributed the flesh of the innocent to be consumed by evildoers, so they might enjoy the goodness and the power of the slain. Let the ministers of the community recognize these children of darkness and cast them away from the order, lest they defile and corrupt the good and the innocent of God. You will know them by their works and recognize their true faces beneath the mask of feigned smiles and sweetness. Beware lest they gain trust and confidence of the unwary and unsuspecting, for they will seek your death and the death of your successor, so they might claim rights over the community. Know that the sacrifice and death of God's holy sages are not his will, but are the will of evil that oppose God and uses the wicked and unrighteous to carry out its will. God gains nothing from sacrifice, death, suffering, pain, or the spilling of blood. These corrupt the universe and fill the human mind with anguish and guilt. For evil is nourished on hate, killing, and the brutalization of the human spirit. God never intended for the members of the human family to become violent towards one another. The nations of the world have assumed full authority over the races, rejecting God's supernatural laws. This will result in a breakdown of civilization, ending in disruption and full anarchy by an uncaring and uncontrollable world, as the prophets had declared would one day occur. And I think we should now proceed to the blessings.